Robinhood Radio presents Between the Stacks, a weekly chat about our local public library.
My name is Sarah Marshall, and I'm the director at the Kent Memorial Library.
My name is Courtney Sahalis, and I'm the director at the Millbrook Library.
Well, hi, Courtney. How are you?
Good, Sarah. How are you doing?
I'm good, thank you. Getting a little tired of this weird weather, but...
The humidity is constant.
It is unpleasant, yes. Well, it seems we have a new topic for this conversation, and this is about, if you don't mind, I'll just jump in.
Yeah.
How have our community libraries contributed to the recovery from the pandemic? What are your thoughts on that up in Millbrook?
So I think we've really seen, as people have emerged from the pandemic and kind of like social isolation, people are really craving social connection now.
Mm-hmm.
And I think libraries are serving a really important purpose by being a place to go where there's, one, no expectation of spending money.
Right.
And two, it's for all ages. We've seen a really big increase in like the demand and desire for intergenerational programs.
Interesting.
Which has been really
like,
cool.
For example, what's been a good one?
We did just recently an intergenerational, it was a stained glass making program, which was pretty cool. And we did an egg dyeing program that we had people from ages like 6 months to almost 100.
Whoa!
Cool.
That's very impressive.
Yeah. How about... in your library?
Well, I would agree that the isolation that people felt during COVID was tremendous, and it was we pivoted to Zoom really quickly. We were lucky to have as part of our library community. I mean, it sounds terrible, but this woman whose daughter was already in isolation because she had a heart problem. So they were always, and she was a little one, she was a toddler, and so she had gotten into remote work because she had to keep her daughter home anyway. This was like in October of 2019. She was already in lockdown. And when the pandemic happened and we all shut down, we pivoted very quickly to Zoom because she reached out to me almost immediately and said, "This is what I do for work because I have to." She would run all of these virtual corporate events, and she said, I can do this for you. So we were lucky in that we were immediately able to bring people together online, even though it obviously is not as good as being together in person. It certainly does make things more flexible, and during a time like that when you really couldn't gather at all, it was the only community we could create. And in that way, I think all libraries, and of course, you know, Zoom is now the new normal. I haven't had a non-hybrid board meeting in 4 years. They're all hybrid. I take that back. For a long time, they were all Zoom. And now they're fully hybrid, and so I have people that, you know, couldn't get together with the board or couldn't make it because of travel or work, and now suddenly, you know, my meetings are better attended and all that kind of stuff. So I feel like Zoom and that sort of virtual meeting method in general has become just part of all of our options in bringing people together, and that's been good. We try to avoid it now if we can because it's not as good as human to human interaction, but it's certainly another feather in our cap, or that's the wrong expression, or arrow in our quiver, another way to try to reach out to people, and that's good. Now, we are having issues with the digital divide in that we have people that still cannot access things like Zoom and meetings and stuff like that. So we're working on that here in Kent and all through the northwest corner to try to improve our connectivity. And there's, there's federal money and state money and such that's going to it, but it's finding where those pockets are that's been a real challenge for us.
Yeah, we definitely feel that over here, too. We've done a lot to kind of both help with instructions and digital literacy.
Mm-hmm.
So our adult program coordinator is a digital navigator and is trained in, like, helping people learn about different types of technology like Google Drive, Zoom, social media, things like that. And we were lending out mobile hotspots, which people really liked. And then we recently got a grant to create two connectivity kits, which is basically like a tablet with a built-in hotspot, and we loaded it up with a bunch of county resources, things like Zoom, Microsoft Teams, Google Drive, things that people might need for work or to, like, do a virtual doctor's appointment. And now we're lending those out as well.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, that was our adult programs coordinator's idea. Her name is Gabby, and it was a really great one. So I was very glad to get
because that's part of the issue. You know, like, there are so many reasons why people aren't connected to the digital world.
Exactly.
And sometimes it's, you know, their own infrastructure. Their tablet's too old, or they have an ancient laptop, and it no longer will update Zoom, or it won't update all the other things that you need. And they get frustrated because it's not working, and then they just say, well, I can't do it. And it's sometimes just a little fix.
Exactly.
Or having something that's already fully loaded and working means they can just take it and function. That's really interesting. I think I'm going to ask you to send me more information about that.
I definitely can. I think it's really cool. I think it's made COVID really made, I think, libraries in general more aware of accessibility issues.
Agreed.
And I think it made, like, kind of everybody a little bit more aware of accessibility issues. But I know we've seen a really big increased access and, like, a demand for digital resources like ebooks.
Us too.
Really cool.
You know, and I remember people saying, oh, well, you know, libraries are a thing of the past and people aren't going to be reading books anymore. And that is 100% not true. Our circulation is still very strong with actual paper books. But I think offering all of these digital options for people, either audio or ebooks, has just created more readers and given more people things to read versus taking the place of that.
Yeah, and it's made it so much easier, too, because it used to be, like, if you wanted to, like, read when you were waiting for a doctor's appointment or something in the waiting room, you'd have to bring the book, and now it's all on your phone.
Yeah, or touch, like, a magazine in a doctor's office, ew.
Yes.
Somebody's really made a mess on that. No, thank you. I found that too. That budget we've shifted a little bit of our limited book budget to digital resources, and it's sent our circulation really skyrocketing. It's been wonderful, and we get a lot of happy people who come in and they say, you know, what do you have? And we tell them, you know, we're lucky that we can sort of offer a nice array of things. We don't have everything, but we're doing pretty well. And people say, oh, you mean I can cancel my Audible subscription, or I can not have to pay for Netflix or whatever? And it's not that you'll necessarily get every single thing, but there are options for people, especially people on a limited budget, that they will still be able to access, you know, that big cache of information and entertainment out there.
Absolutely, yeah. I think it's been kind of unexpectedly. We've also, when we do school visits, we ask the teens, like, oh, what do you want to see in the library? What can we help you with? And a lot of them are just so busy,
yeah,
between homework, sports, potentially jobs, and they might not be able to come into the library when we're actually open.
Right.
But this way they can still engage with library content.
Yep.
Home,
yeah, we have a regional high school here. I'm not sure about Millbrook, but we have we're part of Region 1, but we're in the southernmost town. And the kids who play sports, they have their practice after school. They don't get home until 6.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a long day, and that's 5 days a week. So if they aren't busy on the weekends, which, of course, they probably are, we're only ever open on Saturdays during the school year anyway, they have very few opportunities to come in. So, yeah, I agree that the digital offerings really do create a more even playing field, more access for people. It's weird to think that COVID had some benefits, but it absolutely did.
Yeah.
I think it brought libraries, it helped libraries. They were already turning into sort of more of a community center than a quiet reading space, but it just put it on hyperdrive, how quickly libraries have pivoted to being a place for gathering and not a place for just quiet research and quiet work. We're a particularly noisy library, but that's mostly my fault because I never stop talking. But I love that, and I love that when you come in here, there's energy, and there are quiet places. Now, you know, we're going to be expanding pretty soon, and we are creating some quiet spaces because we really don't have anything that's quiet, but it will not in any way mean we're going to be gathering less. We'll be gathering even more because we're building bigger gathering spaces too. So libraries, I think, have pivoted to meet the needs of the community, but in a way that's really a healthy growth that probably was going to happen anyway, but not as quickly. It wasn't necessarily a priority. And I don't know about you, but you know, we still have people that come in and think that we're a quiet shushing space, and we're just not.
Yeah, I think there's definitely been the shift in I think public perception of libraries as people come in and realize, like, oh, I don't need to be quiet. Oh, you're having a concert,
right? Exactly.
In the middle of the
space. And you're serving wine. And
and I think one thing too that was just really impressive to me is the level of creativity that I saw during COVID, and just like how librarians really worked to problem solve to make sure that their patrons could get access to still library services still, which like the creative things I saw were awesome. So it was it was very cool.
I still have people donating brown bags. I mean, we were doing all of the, you know, people would call in with their book orders and we would get them their books, and then we'd have these big rows, stacks of brown bags with people's names on them, and they could go pick them up outside. It was really, and I still have, they're not easy to see, but right in the beginning of when we were first able to reopen, I can't remember, probably 6 or 7 weeks in, I spray painted these X's on on the walkway into the library as if we'd have some long line where everyone had to stay 5 feet apart. It was very ambitious. It didn't really happen that way, but you didn't know everything. We were all making things up as we were going.
Yeah, and I think that's, when I look back on it, that was kind of the crazy part, because I remember we were, like, quarantining books for 3 days.
Oh, yeah.
And
oh, yeah.
Because there was just so much uncertainty.
Well, let me tell you, there are times when I still think we should do that. Especially you get a book back from a smoker, you go, whoa, that, you don't want to put that back on the shelf.
Or the unidentified stains.
Yeah, exactly, that when they come back sticky. Anyway, so let's talk about some exciting upcoming things you have. What's going on for August and September in Millbrook?
Yeah, so we have our end of summer reading party happening on Friday, August 16th. We're doing a glow foam party, which I am personally very excited about. And that's going to be from 7:30 to 8:30. And it's basically we have Yo Bounce Rentals coming out, and they're going to basically shoot foam all over the place, and it's going to glow in the black light. So I'm very excited about that.
Whoa, that sounds delightfully messy. How are you handling that? That must be an outside activity?
Yeah, that's going to be on our lawn. We're very lucky. We have a pretty big lawn space.
Okay. Glow foam. All right, that's another one I might steal. I'm going to look into it.
Oh, yeah, go for it. And then we also have Millbrook's Community Day coming up on September 21st. That's going to be from 9 to 3, and the library is going to be hopping. We're having 2x2 Animal Haven come out to do like a petting thing on our front lawn. We're going to do pumpkin painting. We're going to have the bubble bus come, which is always exciting. So we're going to be like a hot spot. But there's going to be great things happening all around Millbrook that day. So
that's
very
neat
to participate. How about at your library?
Let's see. So our summer reading program is wrapping up, I think, on Saturday, the one for the children anyway. They're having a visit from an animal truck. I think it's called Furry Scaly Friends, and that'll be lovely. The adult summer reading program is doing its second raffle pull at the end of the month. So we do sort of two rounds of that for the adults, and that's cute. They just get like a gift basket, but everyone, it gets a little competitive. It's sort of entertaining. And then coming up, we have the library hosts a carnival every year, and it's not the kind with rides, but we invite all the nonprofits to come and set up tables, and they offer games or activities or art, you know, art projects, or we have some that do live music, all sorts of things, touch a truck. And it's all the nonprofits in Kent are invited, and it's an opportunity for them to connect with everybody in town. And just, we used to have a big fair. We used to have like a fireman's fair years and years ago, and it just became too much for our fire department to put it on. And it was one of those that had like the rides that would come and such. And I missed that. I missed that when it was right before school started and all the kids were there and everybody was barefoot and filthy and running around. You know, it was... It just felt very, very, very neighborhoody, very community friendly, and that's what So this was me trying to recreate that. But we use the nonprofits, and everyone pitches in and does something fun, and that's cute. That's at the end of the month on the 31st, on Saturday. And then our big two events in September, we've got one on the democratic process in Kent, so how to basically get the most out of town hall and how to understand how to get through all of the different commissions and things, which is, if you've ever tried to, you know, go through the land use office or, you know, get stuff from what you need from the town clerks and such, there's just a lot to know. But it was started on basically a direct democracy program. Like, how can you participate in the democracy of your town and get involved and get what you need from the local government? And then my favorite night of the year, other than my birthday, is quiz night. And we do a big, large-scale pub quiz in town. We actually have to use the town fire department because we need so much space, and we get somewhere between 150 and 200 people in teams of four, and it's a pub quiz, and it's ridiculous. And we do people basically tailgate. They bring all their own food and drink, and it's 100 questions, and you know, it's wild and silly, and we usually have some sort of live music and some sort of visual piece. It's a range of things, and it's a real favorite, and it brings in people that aren't necessarily library users. They just come because it's the quiz, and it's super fun. So that's on the 21st of September. And as I said, I look forward to it all year. I'm the quiz master, and as soon as I finish one year, I'm working on the next one. It's super fun.
That sounds like a really good time.
It's a really good time. I highly recommend it.
All right. Cool.
And then I think we were going to quickly talk about most requested books or book recommendations. My most requested books are still the same as they were at the beginning of the summer. The Women, We Can't Keep It on the Shelf. There's a couple of other newer ones. There's one called Sandwich, which I haven't read yet. I can't get them. Ha ha. Everyone else is ahead of me in line. There's one called God of the Woods that people like. And I was joking with the children's librarians, and they said they could pretty much have an entire Dog Man section, and it would always be empty because they cannot keep any of those on the shelf.
We're the exact same here. The Woman by Kristen Hanna is, I feel like it's always going to be the most requested book.
It's
now.
Definitely it's the book of the year. Yeah.
And it's like another Lessons in Chemistry, because I remember that one was just like the most popular
book. Or Tom Lake,
so
same
long.
Thing.
Yes. Yeah. And same here. I think the same books are our top three. And then Dogman is so popular.
Isn't it funny? I mean, and they're fine, but it's like the kids are obsessed.
Yeah, we are very lucky. We just got a really great donation of replacements, so we were able to swap out all of our well loved beat up copies.
Yeah, they get abused. And then, do you have anything that you're reading that you're recommending right now?
I read recently the book Shark Heart by Emily Havoc, and this is one book that when I was ordering it, like, the description just really intrigued me.
Yeah.
And it was such a good read. So it's a novel that follows a couple, Lewis and Wren, during their first year of marriage, which starts out really happy, but it soon becomes really challenging when Lewis is diagnosed with a rare condition where he'll retain his consciousness and memories and intellect, but his body will transform into a great white shark.
That is bananas.
And, like, that whole premise, I'm like, what is
happening? Yeah. So have you read it? You read it?
I read it.
Did you love it?
I loved it.
Okay.
It was such a good love story, and I don't want to spoil anything, but
okay, that's on my list for sure. I'm gonna try to get it. I just read one that I really enjoyed. It's not a genre that I usually read, but it was called Listen for the Lie by Amy Tintera.
Yes.
And it's basically it's based around a true crime podcast, and this woman who is accused of her best friend's murder, and she, quote-unquote, gets away with it in that she's not, they don't ever press charges, but of course everyone in town thinks she's guilty. And this true crime podcaster guy comes in and starts to do this whole program about it, and you get to figure out what actually happened. And I tend not to read things about murder because I don't like murder as a human being, but it's just so funny. It's a really funny, fast-paced, an entertaining story, and I just loved it. I couldn't put it down. And it's, as I said, it's outside of my normal genre. And if I like something like that, you know it's going to be a hot one. It's just really entertaining.
I literally just added it to my...
Oh, good. Oh, good. Well, I'm going to read Shark Heart, and then we're going to have to book talk.
Yes.
Okay. Well, I think that's all that I've got. Anything else you wanted to add?
That's it on my end.
Okay. Well, it was great to talk to you, and I guess we'll reconnect again in another month or so.
Yeah, I can't wait. I think this is really fun.
It is fun.
Between the Stacks is produced at the facilities of Robin Hood Radio 91.9 FM, Sharon, Connecticut.